One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Paul and Father Barber in the library of the family home.
Yes, yes. Pinky stayed on the job today, Paul.
He seemed to be dragging a little when he went upstairs a while ago.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone to bed.
At 8 o'clock?
Why not? He knows his days of dilly-dallying are over.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. Friends, when you've been out late, had late refreshments that threaten to result in acid indigestion, take Alka-Seltzer before you go to bed. That's right. Before you go to bed. And here's why. Alka-Seltzer will relieve that upset, uneasy feeling in your stomach, so you'll sleep better and wake up feeling better next morning. It's a simple thing to remember, a simple thing to do, but mighty important. Try it and see, won't you? That's Alka-Seltzer in the friendly blue and white package. Chapter 12, Book 80. There's a moon in a clear sky in San Francisco tonight. But there's a foreshow of winter in the wind which blows off the Pacific. Up in Seacliff, the trees are restlessly tossing their branches outside the Barber family home. But within, there is serenity. The head of the House of Barber sits before his library fire, and in his face there is measureless content and satisfaction. He feels that he's at last getting somewhere in the struggle to make his grandson settle down to work. Today, Pinky put in a solid 8 hours.
Yes, yes, and with no nonsense about it either, Paul. He stayed right on the job until 5 o'clock this evening. I had to call him to come in to wash up for dinner.
Well, I must say the work gave him an appetite, Dad. He polished off quite a meal for himself.
I knew that once I got him moved in here where I could supervise him, it wouldn't take long to get him on a healthy regimen. He did a hard day's work, and tonight he has the satisfying feeling of being honestly tired.
Yeah, he seemed to be dragging a little when he went upstairs a while ago.
Wouldn't be surprised if he's gone to bed already.
What? At 8 o'clock?
I warned him that I was calling him early again in the morning. His days of dilly-dallying are over.
Well, you're a genius, Dad, if you brought about a reformation in him this soon.
Oh, no doubt in my mind about it at all. His performance today shows that his real quality is coming through. And I made a point of commending him. I told him that he was now beginning to prove that he has the same industry and integrity his brother has shown all along.
What was his reaction to that?
He made no comment, but I'm sure he got the point.
Mm-hmm. Only too well, maybe.
Huh?
Hank has been held up to Pinky so often as the model young man that I'm sure there's a deep resentment there. As a matter of fact, it might explain a lot of Pinky's actions.
Of all, I tell you that he is positively disdainful of Hank. He actually boasts that he is nothing like him. He's proud of the fact.
Yeah, but that's a defense, Dad. Hank gets approval and compliments on his good marks, his reliability, his modesty. And Pinky can't compete with him there, so he does everything he can to be completely opposite.
Well, that doesn't make sense, Paul. By doing the opposite, he doesn't get the approval or the compliments that you spoke of. It only brings criticism and censure down on him.
Yes, but it also brings attention to him. And if you get enough attention, you become important, don't you? Pinky hates having the family worried that he isn't making good, but he also glories in it. He's the focal point now. His mother, Dan, you, practically everybody is wondering and thinking about Pinky. Yes, sir. Hank's been shoved into the background, and Mr. Pinky is up there in the spotlight.
At least he's going to find it more difficult to put anything over on me now that I've got him here in the house where I can keep my eye on him.
Yes, this is going to be quite an interesting match.
Well, this is like old times.
Well, come on in, Mom.
You don't know how refreshing it is to hear you chuckling, Henry.
We've been saving your chair for you, Mom.
Thank you.
Well, you've been, Fanny. Paul and I have been having an interesting discussion.
How nice. That's why I said it seemed like old times to see you and Paul sitting here in the library talking.
I'm here every night. If we don't do it more often, it's not because Paul hasn't the opportunity.
Now, don't start fussing, Henry. Maybe that's why he doesn't stay around.
My dear, we were getting along very well.
All right, Henry. I won't say another word.
We've been trying to find out what makes Pinky tick.
Where is Pinky, anyway? I thought he'd be down here.
Dad said he was so tired he must have gone to bed.
Well, that's strange. I've been up in my sewing room. He didn't come in and tell me good night.
Well, he probably got up to his room and fell on the bed and went sound asleep.
With his clothes on?
Wouldn't surprise me. He learned what work means today, Fanny. And he'll learn more about it tomorrow and the next day and the next. Until he's worked out that $250 I lent him. Yes, yes.
Well, I don't think it's good for him to get so tired he falls down the bed exhausted, Henry.
Oh, he's young and healthy. Best thing in the world for him to get physically tired, eh, Paul?
that somebody whistling? Couldn't be Clifford. Took the karma someplace tonight.
Pinky?
Yeah?
Oh, just wondered who it was.
That's me.
Don't you want to come to the library with us, Pinky?
Okay.
I didn't think you'd go to bed without saying goodnight.
Hi.
Well, Pinky, we thought you'd gone to bed.
No, I've been up taking a shower.
Why, you look so refreshed tonight.
What did you get yourself all dressed up for?
Oh, I'm going out, Grandfather.
Going out?
Yes, sir.
You have a date for tonight?
Oh, I won't be late.
I should think not. You've got a full day of work ahead of you tomorrow, you know. I don't want any excuses that you're tired when I come up to wake you in the morning.
Oh, I said I didn't expect to be out late.
Expect? You may regret that you didn't get to bed early by the time tomorrow afternoon rolls around and you're beginning to sag down there in my garden.
Well, gosh, Grandfather, as long as I get in my 8 hours of work, I don't see what difference it makes what I do in the evenings.
He's right, Henry. After 5 o'clock, his time's his own. You told him that yourself.
Yes. Are you going out with a young lady, may I ask?
Yes, sir. Eunice is coming by in a little while to pick me up in her car. We're just going to ride around for a bit.
Eunice?
Yeah, you know, Eunice Higby.
Yeah, I know very well. I had planned to call your mother and Daniel this evening to tell them what a fine day's work you did. You won't have any objections to my telling them that you have gone out with Eunice?
Oh, sure, that's okay. I'm old enough to be going out without checking with Mom, though.
Well, just the same, I feel I'm responsible for you now that you are living here. I want to keep your parents informed as to your whereabouts.
Well, whatever you say, Grandfather. Now, that's Eunice. I gotta go.
You got your overcoat, Pinky? There's a cold wind out.
Yeah, I got it right out here, Grandmother. Be seeing you. Good night.
All right, Pinky.
Good night.
Ah, youth.
My, he's really growing up.
Yeah, there seems to be some question about that.
Now, Henry, I don't see anything wrong if he wants to go out for a little while with his girl. He said he wouldn't be late.
Well, we don't know anything about this girl, Fanny, other than the fact that she's got money, apparently. We know that because she was audacious enough to give him money in an attempt to pay me off. But why doesn't he bring her in so we can meet her? I don't like this furtiveness. Is he ashamed of her?
Maybe she doesn't want to meet us, Dad.
I wouldn't blame her. She's probably scared to death of you.
Huh? Well, I haven't laid eyes on the young lady. That's what I'm complaining about.
No, but you weren't very nice when you talked to her on the phone the other day.
Well, very, very well. But don't be asking me to take pity on him when it comes time for him to get up and go to work in the morning.
You're getting positive obsessed about that silly job. Don't you think so, Paul?
Well, Pinky made a bargain with Dad, and if he's going to make him live up to it, he's got to stay right in there slugging, Mom.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Paul, while your mother's been trying to make me out a martinet.
No such thing. I just don't want you living Pinky's job night and day, that's all. Isn't that serious?
That was probably pretty serious to Pinky. I'll bet he's giving Eunice an earful right now about the way he's slaved today. Nothing like pouring out your troubles in the sympathetic.
Oh, this is just what I needed, Eunice, to get out for a while and sit back in a swell car and relax.
You feeling better?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't I just pull up along here someplace? We can look at the ocean and talk.
Oh, sure. There's a good place to park. Right ahead there.
Uh-huh. There.
Oh, boy.
You poor darling, you're just worn out, aren't you? Put your head on my shoulder and close your eyes. Want to?
Yeah. This is great. I don't know how I'm going to keep it up, working this way.
I'm just furious at your grandfather. What's he trying to do, make a common laboring man out of you? Oh, you're too fine for that, Pinky. Too sensitive.
Yeah, but what am I going to do?
What would you like to do? I mean, if you had your choice of all the things in the world, what would you do?
Travel, I guess. Yeah, I'd like to do a lot of traveling.
That would be fun.
It's broadening, too, Eunice. Gives a person some dimension. If I could get in a few months of travel before I went back to college, it'd be the greatest thing in the world for me. I'd have something that would stand me in good stead all my life. Travel fits you for anything you go into. Forestry, anything. Of course, it's out. No chance.
Maybe you could later.
Oh, you got to do things like that when you can appreciate them. People always wait till they're too old, and it's wasted on them. Youth is the time for living, Eunice, when you're vibrant and alive.
I love the way you talk, Pinky. Everything you say seems to be just right to me.
Hey, look, Eunice, why don't we do it together?
What, Pinky?
Travel. We could.
How?
We could get married.
Oh, Pinky, you mean right away?
Well, as soon as we could arrange it, would you? Would you marry me, Eunice?
Yes, Pinky, I would.
Well, then we're all set. We'll go to Europe on our honeymoon. We'll forget about work and college and everything for a couple of months. And then we'll come back and I'll study like the devil and eventually go into the lumber business with your father. How about it?
Oh, it sounds so exciting. I'll have to talk to Mother, of course. And she'll have to phone Daddy. He's up north looking after his lumber mills. Everything will depend on what he says.
You mean you wouldn't do it unless he said so?
Oh, I'm sure he'll say it's all right. But if he doesn't, we might not have any money. Would you still want to marry me, Pinky?
Well, sure. But we can fix it with your dad, don't you think so, Eunice?
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Say, Mother, doesn't this sound familiar?
Gee willikers, Mom, this is only a scratch. I don't want to get all painted up like an Indian.
Stand still, Bobby.
But, Mom, a scratch can look worse than it is.
It can certainly get worse if it becomes infected. That's why we're going to bathe it with Bactine so it won't become infected.
Bactine, is that what that is?
That's exactly what it is. Stand still now.
But, Mom...
There. Now, that wasn't bad, was it?
Bad? Well, I hardly felt it. It didn't burn at all.
Uh-huh. I thought that was what you were worried about. A big boy like you, too.
Well, gee whiz. Fella doesn't like to have a hurt on top of a hurt now, does he? Anyway, I won't worry the next time. That stuff is swell stuff. It didn't sting, it didn't burn. And look, no stains. Yep, it's swell stuff.
Not stuff, Bobby. It's Bactine. Bactine.
Yes, spelled B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. The remarkable new family antiseptic. Ideal for family use. Try it, friends. Discover Bactine's many, many household uses. Get a 30 or 70 cent bottle from your drugstore. If Bactine doesn't prove to be the finest household antiseptic and germicide you've ever used, send the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories and get double your money back. That's right, double your money back if you don't like Bactine. Be sure you ask for B-A-C-T-I-N-E, Bactine. Here's the family again.
Did you call Hazel, Henry?
Yeah, yes, I told her that Pinky had gone out with that girl.
Well, didn't you tell her what a fine job he did for you today?
I did. She seemed to be more interested in the fact that he was out with this Eunice, however.
That's always more interesting to a mother, Henry.
Friends, remember, try Bactine, the marvelous new family antiseptic and general-purpose germicide. Get it on the no-risk guarantee of double your money back if you're not satisfied. Go to your drugstore and get a 30 or 70 cent bottle of Bactine. Try it for many of its amazing uses. Then, if you don't think Bactine is the finest product of its kind, if you don't find more uses for it than any other antiseptic you ever used, return the empty bottle to Miles Laboratories and get double your money back. Get Bactine right away. B-A-C-T-I-N-E. Bactine. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tomorrow, Pinky discloses his wedding plans. Chapter 13, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.